Chapter 21. Carl got off the bus at Calhoun Square, in a trendy area of Minneapolis known as Uptown, even though it was actually south of downtown. The neighborhood was full of nicely redone older homes, lovely yards, and established trees on the boulevard. It was an area of young, upwardly mobile families, upwardly mobile gay couples, comfortably well-off retirees. There weren't a lot of people looking the way Carl was looking, but he planned to remedy that quickly. He went into the Calhoun Square shopping mall, a collection of boutiques and restaurants tucked into an old brick building that had been converted from blue-collar beginnings. A bored girl at a kiosk on the first floor watched him approach with a mix of disgust and trepidation. As he neared her, Carl thought she might run, but he held out a $20 bill and told her he needed a cap. She eyed the 20, and her greed got the better of her. She sold him a plain khaki ball cap and offered back no change. As he went toward the men's room, Carl looked over his shoulder and saw her stick the bill in her purse. The dishonesty of people in general made him shake his head. He took the cap and went into the men's room to discard the ragman's hair and knit cap. Because it was early, he had the place to himself and decided he would take the opportunity to wash his face and head. Removal of the cap was a painful process. The wool had knitted into the bloody head wound he'd gotten when Snake was pounding him into the cell bars. As he peeled the cap away, bit by bit, the wound opened in several places and began to bleed again. He stared at himself in the mirror, thinking he looked like something out of a horror movie, a red-eyed demon up from hell. His lip was throbbing something fierce, grotesquely swollen and red. It reminded him, in a way, of the folds of tender flesh between a woman's legs. For the briefest of moments, he imagined he could smell the musky scent of a woman who was ready for sex. He enjoyed that moment. Then he pulled his bridge out of his pants pocket, rinsed it off in the sink, and put it back in his mouth. There probably weren't many people in this part of town who went around without teeth. The ball cap went on with the sunglasses. He neatly rolled the sleeves of his shirt halfway up his forearms. There wasn't anything he could do about the filthy pants except roll the cuffs up. He took off his shoes and socks, threw the socks in the trash, and put the shoes back on. This would do for the moment. Pulling the brim of the ball cap down low, he exited the bathroom, the building, and walked away into the neighborhood. Hands in his pockets, he strolled down the sidewalk like a man without a care in the world. Maybe he was just walking home from Starbucks. Maybe he'd been doing yard work, and that was why his pants were dirty. As he walked, Carl scoped out the houses on this side of the block. Bikes on the front porch meant more than one person in the household, a couple or a family. He looked for the smaller homes, single story or story and a half. The ones with large flower beds, now dead from the cold, told him perhaps the people or person who lived there had a lot of spare time, older, retired maybe. A small Cape Cod type of a house caught his eye, blue with white shutters and a picket fence around the front yard. A country crafty wooden welcome sign hung beside the front door. Grandma lives here. Carl turned the corner, then turned again down the alley. Privacy fences blocked off the view into the backyards of most of the houses. Grandma Lives Here had a fence made of wide vertical cedar planks that had been allowed to weather to a silvery gray. Carl slipped between that fence and the neighbors, testing for loose boards as he worked his way to the back of the one-car garage. There were none. There was, however, a window on the side of the house at the back, which was blocked from view from the street by a big lilac bush.